Hello and welcome to Thursday Wine and Dine. Today I just want to cover the generalities of pairing food and wine, and it does depend on certain things such as the season. In the winter you might tend towards heartier meat dishes, casseroles, gratin, or you might be going for salads and barbecue if it's much warmer. You've got to consider whether, you're dining with friends or just alone or as a couple. You've got to also think, with the occasion, are there going to be other drinks provided? Obviously, you're always going to be providing non-alcoholic drinks, but I'm just meaning, as well as the wine, will there be beer or will there be spirits, cocktails, or will there be cider? And having a good think about snacks, salads and lighter meals. I think that's really important as well. And of course, cheese boards and perhaps a dessert, something as simple as fruit salad. So a lot of white wines work absolutely brilliantly with fruit salad. Now today, what I've got here is a South African blend, and I do really revere some of these South African blends. They are as quality in both texture and the palate as a really top-end white Rhone. This one's called Rockview the Far Side, and it's an interesting blend of Chardonnay, Chenin Blanc and Colombard. And the Chenin adds lightness and fruitiness. The Chardonnay adds the buttercream texture. And the Colombard just mixes it up a little bit with some exotic fruit in there. And so on the nose, it's really, really good. It's very intense. I've got like peach crumble, apricot, light toffee buttercream notes, touch of minerality, little tiny bit of sort of, herbs and orchard blossom. Now on a palate, it's actually coming across as it's relatively creamy, but there's also a tartness in there, which is interesting, and it's very much a mineral wine. It's not fruity like the nose would suggest, but it does have that nice creamy sort of texture running into a crisp white as well. I'd say it's pretty much an all-round crowd pleaser, to be fair. And so when I'm pairing food and wine, I prepare things a long, long way ahead. Several months, oddly enough. And the reason for that is that I buy most of my wines in cases, and I have to decide, where I want to source the cases. And what I do is, with two of the clubs, Naked and Virgin, I pay into essentially a wine bank, and they top it up a little bit for me, either with extra cash value for the wine, or, Naked give me an enormous number of wonderful, wonderful free bottles. And it's in their interest to do so, in the sense that, I mean, their prices are a little higher, but with all the free wine, my cost per bottle averages between, say, £8 to £11 tops, and that includes some really classy sparkling wines in there as well. But when they throw in an extra wine that I perhaps wouldn't have considered because it's a higher price, and I try that and I think, oh yes, I do like that. And sometimes I like it well enough to even order a subscription of six. So every year I take the option of yes or no, do I want to receive six of that wine? And that is a brilliant way to keep my cellar, replenished through the year. Obviously, wine doesn't seem to last very long at all, does it, these days? And the bottles aren't getting any smaller. But I think since the amazing sort of phenomenon of how much people upped their drinking during the lockdowns in 2020-2021, the British palate for wine has seriously increased. And I would say I'm drinking between 1.5 and two times the amount of wine that I was prior to 2020 as a norm. I drank, you know, around about 1.5 times the bottles during the lockdowns, and I've continued to drink at that kind of pace. And I'm sure that's not untrue for the rest of Britain. So I would imagine that the wine merchants are, you know, doing a lot better out of it. And one of the things I do notice very much is as I trawl through Laithwaite's particularly, you know, some of my favourite wines, and this is May, they're not available. And you just think, well, I know, you know, wine is fairly seasonal in that you'll get the vintage and then it's going to be bottled and boxed at certain times of the year. And so the club will receive it, the main bulk of what it's going to receive at various times. And eventually after, say, you know, 3 to 9 months, it's probably going to sell out of that vintage. But some of the wines, you know, there's up to 3 vintages still available. So what's going on there? Are they just discontinuing some of the best ones they've ever done? What would be the point in that? You know, I think it could well be that there's still only the amount of wine per vintage per brand that there was, say, in 2019, but the drinkers are considerably, you know, demanding more, and so the club is actually almost struggling to keep up with demand. And that may be true across the board. You know, there are wines that I'm fond of in, say, Co-op, and I'm not seeing them. So it could be a phenomenon right across the British wine merchant trade that they're actually having to source a lot more wines than they were, say, 4 or 5 years ago. But one of my favourite, you know, subjects is pairing snack and salad food with wines. And particularly in the summer, it's quite easy, you know, because you might even be eating al fresco. So whereas you might have been chained to a desk, you might pop out and, you know, you might even just have sandwiches. But I would suggest that you up your game from sandwiches and go for, say, a, you know, a bowl of, what, couscous or pasta mix, or, you know, an interesting salad made from peppers and lentils, perhaps, or just some rocket and salmon. You know, there's so much out there, sushi, and I'm quite enjoying creating panini snacks, which are really mealsome. So today I've got grated cheddar, tuna and beetroot in a panini, and that is pretty, you know, awesome. And so that's what I'm pairing this wine with. And this is the thing, that because I buy the wines mainly from clubs in cases of 12, I have to think ahead, you know, what wines for what season and what sort of things am I likely to want to pair them with. So the pairing of food and wine for me is simultaneous, and it's quite far sighted as well. So this particular wine, I didn't spend months ago thinking, oh, I know, on the 2nd of May, what I'd really, really like is a South African white with a tuna panini. Now, the tuna panini idea only happened to me about a week ago because I wanted to see if I could, you know, have something on a Thursday. It was a little bit more unusual, but light, but interesting, and what goes well with white wine. And the South African white was just one that I happened to buy in a case of Naked Wines. I bought two whites, actually, from South Africa, meaning probably to pair them with two red South African at some point during a week. But I drank one of them, which was an unusual and interesting Pinot Gris, a couple of weeks ago. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just open this one now. So that was a rather random choice. But, you know, throughout the year, you're going to be thinking, what kind of meals am I likely to have? So what kind of wines am I going to tend to go for? So in June, I'm looking for lighter bodied wines like Beaujolais or Sangiovese, or some very simple Spanish wine, you know, quite light-bodied wines. Maybe I can chill them in the fridge. Maybe I can slice strawberries into them. Whereas in January and February, I might be looking at doing some casseroles. So I should want some hearty, you know, real hearty Spanish garnacha or some big blend from southern Italy, perhaps. Maybe I probably drink Australian pretty much through the seasons, you know. And various other wines like Bordeaux, say one in every 3 months. I really major on Bordeaux. Rhone, I tend to drink in the colder months because the big Rhone blends can be really, really fiery. And I've got a couple of interesting reds coming up, which are two very contrasting Shiraz. One of them is from Croz Hermitage, so that's the Northern Rhone. And the other one is a bit of a beast from McLaren Vale in Australia. So they're as different as they can be, and yet they owe everything to the same grape. And it's the grape that's got the amazing component in it, which tastes of crushed black pepper spice. That's Shiraz Syrah for you. So I thought I'd do something a little bit different with those two to really set the wines apart so the food isn't overpowering them. And I'm going to do something interesting with turkey, lentils and tomatoes. So that's a bit different. But hopefully the wine won't outshine the dish, you know, the wine choice there. And then I've got a couple of Fleury from Beaujolais up soon. So I'm going to have strawberries and cream with those. But I've decided to go for sort of more of a Plowman's. And again, I want something that's going to set the wine at an advantage. So that's a very important thing, I think, when you're pairing wines where really the wine is more important to you than whatever it is you're going to eat. You're literally providing a backdrop to the wine. And that's particularly true for me when I'm drinking wines that I've probably been looking forward to for some time. And, you know, I really want to be certain what I think about the wines, possibly because I'm looking to see whether I do like that style at all, whether I want to purchase more in the future. You know, wine is an investment. It's an investment in you. It's an investment in how you feel about life. It's a vital component in your inspiration and motivation during the week. So what wines really and truly go with cheese? Well, ask yourself how often, and I mean how often in a year, never mind a month or a week, do you honestly have a cheese board? I mean, there's a lot of talk about pairing wine and cheese, but unless you've got friends around and you've opted for a cheese board after a very simple dessert or even instead of a dessert, you know, do you honestly ever have a cheese board is my question. And if you do, but you don't want to spend out too much on cheese, how about popping in some fruitcake? That's amazing. Cheese and fruitcake. Cheese and ginger cake. Cheese and chocolate cake even. Cake and cheese work really, really well together. And they, you know, demand a wine pairing all of their own. But what I would consider, or ask you to consider very, very much, don't just go with one wine, right? Let's say you want to drink around about 500 mils. So that might be 250 ml for two of you in one sitting. If you open two bottles of wine that compare or contrast with one another, then, you know, that's going to take you over three sittings, which I find personally, I think that's brilliant. Much, much more interesting than just opening one bottle of wine. And you know what people say, you know, oh, if I open a bottle, I always drink the whole bottle. Well, don't just get into the habit of opening two bottles of wine every time and making it do for between three to six, you know, helpings, if you like. So when you're doing that, and say you're on the cheese board with or without fruitcake, You could even open a red and a white, you know, maybe from the same district. So you could open a red Rhone and a white Rhone, or something red and white from the Loire Valley. Or you could open a Argentine Malbec with an Argentine Torontes. And, you know, all through to South Africa, Australia, wherever you are. Very often what I do when it comes to Australia is I open two Australian reds, but I go for two New Zealand whites, because I'm not very fond of New Zealand reds or Australian whites. So it just makes sense to me, you know. Sometimes when I open a French bottle, I pair it with a Romanian bottle or a Moldovan bottle, you know. And sometimes I really mix it up, like with these two Shiraz I'm looking forward to, where I've got a French, very classic variety, and a New World classic, which is the McLaren Vale Shiraz. And occasionally I'll just go for grape varieties. So I might have a Merlot from Spain and a Merlot from somewhere completely different. You know, throughout the year, there's lots of different reasons why I've chosen to open two bottles at the same time. And it may just be that one of the bottles of wine is a bit difficult. So quite an oaked wine, and I'm not sure whether it's really drinking well. So I'll then choose a pretty easy pleasing blend. So I've got, you know, a bit of both worlds, the easy pleasing versus the challenging wine. I do find it quite a challenge to decide, you know, which white wines to contrast with which red wines. And again, I don't always choose the same sort of thing. So I've got, I think it's a couple of reds coming up where I'm not going to pair them, the whites, the same country at all. They're going to just be two completely random Pinot Grigio. Because, you know, like, I don't really like Spanish white wine much, you know, and I prefer the Spanish red wine. So mix it up with something else different that it's difficult to pair those with. If it's a red Rhone, it's easy for me to open a white Rhone because I'm very fond of both of those. So you can see, I think through the wine much, much more than I think through the food. And therefore, in general, I've decided what I'm going to open wine wise and then I have to pair some food with it. That's pretty much me throughout the year. So at the middle to the end of May, I've got a couple of Muscadet that I'm looking forward to, and it's like, what the heck am I going to pair that with? And again, it's a very subtle wine, so, you know, maybe chicken salad, that's pretty good, and even something as ridiculous, if you like, as fish fingers in muffins with some cheese and maybe spring onion, you know, so going for more of a snacky meal. And then I've decided in the bank holiday week at the end of May, I'm going to try and really challenge myself with doing fish and chips. Right, I don't want to open a sparkling wine with them, which is generally considered best, and I don't want to have a cup of tea. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have beer to start with. And then I'm going to open a bit later a German Pinot Noir Rosé that I've got and see how that works. You know, we're talking about something to sort of cut through the greasiness. We want an acidity to do that. I've not tried those, but that might well be quite good fun. And then I'm going to, the end of that week, I'm going to go for something. A grill, basically, with beef and bacon and mushrooms and eggs and things. And I'm going to pair that with a couple of fantastic Malbecs from Argentine. I do think Malbec really, really does like beef, you know. So you can see some of my pairings are quite different. And sometimes I just opt, I'm not going to open a wine. I'm going to have some salmon. And I'm going to have it with cider. Now, don't forget, cider is a fantastic alternative to white wine or rosé. Or drink it alongside, you know, along cider. So, you know, as we're going towards the warmer season, hopefully, the meals are going to lighten up a bit, and so your wines want to lighten up a bit. As you get into the heat and the dryness of summer towards the end of July and into August, that's when I start going back into really hefty, what I call barbecue beast wines. And that will be Bordeaux, heavy Italian wines, maybe some of the heavier Spanish wines. You know, who knows, I might throw a Rhone in there. There might be some South Africa towards the end of August and into September. I just love doing as many South African wines as I can into September. And so I've got to therefore find food that goes with that. And that's quite a difficult time of year, but, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity to try and vary your meal choices a bit more. So I get an enormous amount of fun out of pairing food and wine. Sometimes it's a bit casual, like salmon with cider, or, you know, something to go with fruitcake, or I think I really want to bring out the best in these wines, so I'm going to have fish finger muffins, something really crazy. You know, really go out and see what you can accomplish, and then take what you found to be good and bad when you go to a restaurant. You know, you don't have to be able to pronounce the names of the wines, just point at one. That's what I do. Because, you know, whatever I pronounce the wine like, the waitress won't have a clue what I'm talking about. So I get the wine list and I very, very obviously point. And if there's a number, I say number 32, Thackeray, point, 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 you know. It's great fun, wine and dine, but my gosh, you pay a lot on corkage, you know. And why would you pay £45 upwards in a restaurant for wine which you could buy for about £16 to £18 at home? You know, I generally only go to restaurants if someone else is paying. I think that's a very, very good, you know, rule for good living. Excellent. So yeah, don't be afraid of you know, wines like Muscadet or Suave. They are fantastic these days. Really get those under your belt. There's no need to go for champagne in a restaurant. You know, almost any sparkling wine will be enjoyable with meal. Cava and Prosecco are great, and there's loads and loads of other sparkling wines apart from those. Absolutely loads. You know, I had a beautiful Blanc de Carbonet sparkling wine from Moldova a couple of years ago. That was incredibly good and cheap as anything. You know, it was £9 a bottle or something. So have a good look and see what you can find. And, you know, sometimes I just push the oar out. Later on in May, I'm going to have just a simple sundae of salmon and broccoli. And I've got a Greek white wine. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. But that's, you know, earmarked for that food combination. It's essentially white wines will go with fruit and white fish, white poultry and so on. And reds go with darker choices. But who knows? You know, you could try a red wine with cauliflower cheese. I have to admit, it's very, very much more difficult when it's friends. So it may be as well to just say to them, bring a bottle that you want to drink. Like, that's got to be the ultimate, because they'll almost never like what you choose and they'll only be polite about it at best. It really is a good idea to get them to bring the alcohol they're going to drink. So they bring a bottle, but it's actually for them. It's not for you, right? I think that really is the wisest way ahead. And I don't know if anyone does it, you know, because when you take someone a bottle, the idea is it's for them. But that's ridiculous. Take the bottle you want to drink, you know, and then you could have a nice conversation discussing why you've chosen that one or whatever. But, you know, everyone, when they're talking about food and wine pairing, always assumes that's it. It's food and wine. But, you know, I like to have a cider on the same day as a white wine. I like to have a beer on the same day as a red wine. And I might have a brandy or a rum on that day. I might have a gin or a vodka on a white wine day. you know, it depends when I'm dining, how much day I've got of no driving and that sort of thing. So lots and lots to consider. And again, I don't eat that much cheese, and it is a difficult thing to pair wines with. You know, I wouldn't pair sparkling wine with cheese. I would tend towards pairing a single varietal wine, reds, and maybe white blends with cheese. Blue cheese and fruitcake, very, very difficult. I would go for a pretty big red wine, ideally a wine that's so powerful you can't taste the blue cheese or the fruitcake. Now, there's a challenge for you. Just go with the flow, go with what you want, right? But throughout the year, try and do something that's a little bit different, a little bit of a twist, you know. And don't forget, when it gets warmer, you can always put fruit into wine and it can be served chilled or semi-chilled. So you could slice blueberries and strawberries and raspberries into your red wine. And I often purchase a slice of peach or mango or pineapple or blueberries or pear into white wines. And throughout the year, my consumption of white wines includes the occasional bottle of sparkling and rosés. So I think of a rosé as an alternative to white wine. But you might be different. You might only drink rosés. That's fine. You know, always in life, just push the ore out a little bit. Try another wine that you weren't sure about. Like I'm trying the Greek white. And try a food pairing which you're not sure about. So I've got lamb and kale up coming up. And I'm going to open my biggest, heftiest bottle of... it's not bigger than the other bottles, but it weighs a lot. It's my sexiest roan. That's going to go with lamb. But yeah, I'm always up for new ideas, you know, what to drink with fish and chips. It's a tricky one. It's a very tricky one. I must say that when I was younger, I drank a lot of tea. And these days I drink a lot of wines and I don't drink so much tea. And that's quite interesting. And apparently there's antioxidants in both wine and tea. And it may just be that my body doesn't crave the tea anymore because it's getting the antioxidants out of wine. So, you know, wine and food, those are your medicine.